We are in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And we are going to go verse by verse. Verse 1.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Now here the Saint Paul is saying, we have one house. That house is not built with hands. And that house is where? Eternal in the heavens. That's what the Saint Paul is saying. And many people saying, I'm talking about the scholars, we are not going to go to heaven. Heaven is coming down and we are going to stay on this earth forever. But Saint Paul is saying this body is calling the tabernacle where dissolved. And we have a building of God and house not made with hands. And where is that house? He said, eternal in the heavens. Jesus Christ promised us that he will be building the house for us. And then he will come back and take us wherever he is. Let's go and read in the St. John chapter 14, first three verses.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Jesus Christ says, I'll go and prepare a place for you, and then I'll come back and I'll take you with me wherever I am. So we know where God lives. He lives in heaven. And the word of God says he will come from heaven and he will take us with him in heaven. That house is not built by any man. That's what he's saying. That house is built by God for us. Book of Hebrews chapter 12 starting from verse 22.
For ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Okay. Now where we have come, he says, we have come to the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So that's where we are going. Okay, go ahead.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
So where we're going, where the Father and the Son is. That's what we are going. Let's read the verse 27 also. 27 to 29, same chapter.
And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
Now, when he's saying this world, the present world, is going to be shaken or be destroyed, there is a place which cannot be shaken, and that place will remain forever. That we are talking about heaven. We are not talking about earth. This earth and this the world is going to pass away. Many people are thinking this world is not going to pass away and comforting people, don't worry, we are going to be here forever. Let's read the 2 Peter chapter 3, starting from verse 6.
By the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Now hear what he's saying. The heaven shall pass away with a great noise. So that means this heaven and this earth is going to vanish away. Burn or dissolve or vanished or passed away. When we say pass away, that means he's not there, he's going to go. Okay, please read.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Okay, see what he's saying. These things shall be dissolved. When you say dissolve, what does it mean? Melted away or finished. And so he says, if this world is going to pass away, this earth is going to pass away, this heaven is going to pass away, this all going to be dissolved, then what manner of life we should be living in this world? That means we should be careful, we should be thinking, this world is not going to be forever. Okay, let's finish.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Now again he says, heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. And so the heaven is going to be finished, the earth is going to be finished. So he says, now if you know this world is going to pass away, and if you want to go to heaven, what you supposed to do? Let's read the verse 13.
Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
According to his promise. Whose promise? Jesus Christ's promise. I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'll come back and I'll take you wherever I am. So he says, according to that promise, we should be living in this world with the righteousness, because all filthy things, unholy things will not enter into the kingdom of God. That's what he says. This is the place for preparation. If you want to go to heaven, earth is the place prepared to go to heaven. And so, if somebody is telling you, don't worry, this heaven is not going to pass away, this earth is not going to pass away, this is going to be renewed. It's not going to renewed, dissolve, or vanish away, or pass away. Let's go to the Revelation chapter 20, verse 11.
I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away.
When Jesus Christ sitting on the white throne judgment, he says, what happened? From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. When you say fled away, what does it mean? Stayed? No, fled away. Okay. And there was found no place for them. That means if we say no place means what? You cannot find them again. So how can somebody say this earth is not going to vanish away, God is going to renew this earth, and then we're going to live in this earth forever? He says, please read one more time.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
St. Paul is saying, in the first verse he says, this earthly tabernacle is going to be dissolved. This earthly tabernacle is going to vanish away. This body is going to decay one day. But we are going to look for the place called heavens. And there God lives. And we are going to live with God, because that place is not made by hands, is made by God. And we are going to go there. And that's what our focus should be. That's what St. Paul is saying. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. That also supports what I'm saying.
I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
See, now here also he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, if somebody says this earth we are talking renewed, this word will say it's not renewed. And I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. How much clearer you need? First heaven and first earth passed away. When somebody says the man passed away, what does it mean? He's still alive? He's gone. He's dead and gone. The first earth and the first heaven will pass away. Not only that, he says, and there was no more sea. If somebody wants to stay in this earth, and if there is no sea, what would happen? Now they are talking about global warming. even though there is a sea, and we still are afraid of global warming. So I'm not thinking living this filthy earth for eternity. When we go into heaven, there is no more sea. We don't need a sea there, because God has made a comfortable place. That's called what? Garden of Eden, a beautiful place to live. So God is going to take us wherever he lives. And I don't think God is going to say, okay, I'm going to give up my throne. I'm going to give up everything from there, and I'll come to earth and live with you. That is not God's plan. But you will see there are books out, and people are selling their books, telling, don't worry, we are not going to go anywhere. This earth is not going to go anywhere. These scriptures telling you, we are not belong to this world. We are belong to heaven. Okay, let's come back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2.
For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, from which is from heaven.
Now see, St. Paul is saying, for in this means what? In this body, or in this world, we are groaning, earnestly desiring to be what? Clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So that means he's saying, I'm not happy in this world, right? He's groaning, means we are thinking when we will be get out of this world and go to heaven. Only people who like to stay in this world, they have lots of money, big mansions, and so much money, they think, hey, this is heaven. Where do you want to go? This is a better place. They don't want to go anywhere. They will say, okay, let's go to live in Bahamas, or let's go to Hawaii or Florida and spend some money and stay here. Why are we thinking about going to heaven? We don't need to go to heaven. That's the kind of mind people have when they're living in sin and they're not living for God. But here he's saying, in this world or in this body we are living, we are groaning. Let's read the Romans chapter 8 and starting from verse 22. Not only we are groaning, the whole world, whole creation is groaning.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Now here St. Paul is saying, why we are groaning? He says, not only we, but whole creation is groaning. Do you know when the man committed sin, the curse came to the whole earth? Thorns and thistles and everything came. So now whole universe, whole earth, whole world is groaning. And so now we are all waiting for what? The redemption of our body. Because we are groaning in this body. This body can get sick. This body can get weak. This body can get hungry and thirsty and get old, decay, and die. But we have eternal life, and that life comes from God. So we are waiting for the redemption of our body. We are already redeemed from the curse of the law. We are already born again, but we are still living in this physical body. We are born again children of God. The devil has no power over us. We can live on this earth by the grace of God and by the power of God victoriously. But at the same time, if somebody prick you, the blood is going to come. Somebody hit you, you are going to get hurt. So we are in this body. And so this body is a fragile body. But God is going to give us a new body. That's what he says, we are waiting for the redemption of our body. Okay, read one more.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?
This world is the only world we are living, and this is what? Then we will not looking forward for a better world. So we have hope in Christ. Whatever Jesus Christ said, that I will go prepare a place for you, I'll come back and I will take you wherever I am. That is a hope for a Christian. We are not going to die and vanish away just like the world is thinking. The Christian has a better hope. The Word of God says Jesus Christ, He will come, and what? Dead in Christ will rise first, and then which we are alive, we are going to transform. That is a hope we have. And He says, the hope is not you going to see with your eyes. If you see with your eyes something, you don't have to hope for. So we are hoping that one day our life will be transformed, redeemed, and we will be going to heaven, and that's the place we are going to live for eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3.
If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked.
So he's saying, if you're thinking that you're going to go to heaven and then we'll be clothed with a new home, our new house, our new clothes, then you will not be naked. Now somebody says, I'm not naked, I'm having clothes, but he's not talking about this clothes. Each and every person who is born again, that born again person is wearing the God's righteousness, the robe of righteousness. You remember when the first Adam committed sin, what the Word of God says? He lost the glory of God. And book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. That means the glory of God is gone because of sin. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens? We get the glory of God. We get the righteousness of God. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. The bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
Can you imagine? When you are born again, child of God, he says, God has given us the robe of righteousness, and he has decorated us just like a ready for to be bride. So in short, each and every born again person is not naked, but is clothed by the clothes of righteousness, the robe of righteousness. And if you read in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, it says each and every person who is not only born again, baptized in the water, what happens? He has put on Christ. Please read Galatians 3 27.
For as many of you as have been baptized, Christ have put on Christ.
See here, when we saw in Isaiah, all born again people have put on the righteousness or the robe of righteousness. But here it says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But Christ is the glorious one. So what I'm trying to say, if you put on Christ on you, the people are going to see the glory of Christ. The whole world is going to see Jesus Christ in you. But the Word of God says, in the worldly way, you might have a good suit, or you might have a good dress, thousands of dollars worth, but in the eyes of God, you are naked. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 17.
Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked.
Can you imagine here what the Word of God is saying? You are saying, I am rich. And he says, increase with goods means you have lots of money, lots of things. And I have need of nothing means I have everything. Who is saying this? Maybe millionaire, maybe billionaire, has a lot of money, has a lot of fame. He's rich man, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need God, he doesn't need anything. I have everything. I don't need anything. But the Word of God says you have everything, but in the eyes of God, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked in the eyes of God. How God is seeing how you are rich. You should be rich in what? Rich in faith, rich in God's word, rich in blessings or righteousness. But if you don't, he says, you, even though you think you are rich, you are poor. You are miserable. You are blind. Now, who is blind? The word of God says the God of this world has blinded the minds of what? Unbelievers. The person who doesn't know the righteousness of God or the godly way, they are blinded in spiritual matters. And he says they are not only blinded, they are naked. That's what the word of God says. St. Paul is saying we don't have to be naked. We have to be clothed. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 3 again. So if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. That's what the St. Paul is saying. We don't want to be naked like these people we saw in the book of Revelation. We want to put on Christ. We want to put on the righteousness of God. We want to put on the glory of God. And that's the kind of life we should be living. That's what the St. Paul is saying. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4.
For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Now, St. Paul is saying, in this tabernacle we are living, this tabernacle is going to vanish away because we are still living in mortal body. As I said earlier, this body is going to decay one day. But thank God for Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world, to give us new body. Because the word of God says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God has to give us new body. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Start reading from verse 54.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Death is swallowed up in victory. Only Jesus Christ has the power to defeat the death, and he already did. So we have victory in Jesus Christ. If somebody doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, they are still living in death, and death is hanging on each and every person. Death only taken away by Christ. Okay.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
So he's already answered the question, where the death gets his power? From sin. Sin kills people. God says, the day you will eat this fruit, you will surely die. And the sin kill the mankind. And today, if somebody is sinning and they don't know what they're doing, they are going to die for eternity. The person is going to die even though he's a sinner or saved. If Jesus Christ doesn't come within 100 years, everybody is going to die. But he says, for the believers, death is like a sleeping, is separation from the body in presence with God. But for the unbelievers, death will be going to hell for eternity. Okay, go ahead.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So we got a victory through Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Victory over sin, sickness, disease, death, and hell. We got victory through Jesus Christ. So the Jesus Christ gives us victory, and we are in victory side, so we don't have to worry going down. We are going up. Okay, let's go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5.
Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit.
The word of God says that God has brought us out of this miserable condition. We will have victorious life by the Spirit of God. If the person is not born again, if that person doesn't have the Spirit of God, then he cannot have the glorious body. So we are living in this body, but God has given in this same body the Holy Spirit lives in. The Spirit of God lives in. Now we are born by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives in us. So how it happened? We know St. John chapter 1 verse 12. What it says? As many as received him, who? Jesus Christ. To them he gave power to be called the sons of God. That means each and every person who believes Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, God gives that person authority to be called the sons of God. The sons of God means what? The heritage comes for the son. And once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became the son of God also. That means Father makes you the son because of Jesus Christ. And once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are indeed the children of God. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 15 to 17.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
See, what kind of spirit you got? You got the spirit of Christ. You got the spirit of God. Once you have the spirit of Christ, you are Christian. And the spirit of Christ, that means if the Christ is the Son of God and you get his spirit, then you are a child of God and you are Son of God also. So he said, we got that spirit. That spirit is not make you in bondage. That spirit doesn't give you fear to live in this filthy life. But when you receive that spirit, you are adopted in the family of God. That's what the Spirit of God does. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ comes to live in your life, as well as he brings his Father to come and live in you. So that's what he says. Now that Spirit makes you a child of God, and now you can call Father, Abba Father. And so now, if you read in the book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, he says, God puts that Spirit in you. Please read.
Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
See, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And that's why you're crying, Abba, Father. So how you became a child of God? You received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the Romans chapter 8 verse 9, it says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. So, in short, you have to have the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God comes once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then he says, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That means God says, okay, you received my Son, I give you His Spirit in you. So he calls me Father, you can call me Father also, the same Spirit which is in Christ, the same Spirit comes in us. And that's why we are equal unto Christ, means he can call his Father, Father. We can call Father, Father, because he has given us the same Spirit. Okay, let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6.
Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord.
Everybody cannot think what St. Paul is saying. He says, we always thinking that we are living in this world, but we want to be a present with the Lord. We do not have time to think about God. We do not have time to read the Bible. We do not have time to pray. He's saying, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home, means in this body, we are absent from the Lord. That means we are feeling something or we're missing. When we will go and see my Father? When I'll be in His presence all the time? Even though we are living in this world, we feel the presence of God, but at the same time, we want to be with the Lord. That's what His desire is. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
What does it mean? We are living in this world, but we are not living for this world, and we are living in this world by faith. Our walk in this world is faith walk. People are Sometimes they're thinking you are foolish. You are not enjoying the world what we have. Enjoy when you are living in this world. Go to movies. Have some drink. Go for dancing. Enjoy this life. This life is short. We are not living for this world. He says we walk by faith, not by sight. We are not looking this, whatever the beautiful things are, or mansions and beautiful places, it's not for us. They are all going to vanish away. If somebody tells you, I give you everything what you want, deny Christ, what will happen? These things are nothing. St. Paul says, all the things what I thought is good, I gave it up, and I think those are dunk. Those are trash. Because in this world, whatever you see with your eyes, everything going to vanish away. We are not walking by sight. And so the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, what he says? He says, we cannot please God without faith. If you don't have faith, we cannot please God. So to please God, what you need is faith.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
See what he's saying? First of all, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what he says, if you believe and come to me by faith, then I will reward you. What does it mean? Once you find out what God is, and once you believe what God is, and once you trust in God, there is nothing impossible with God. Once you belong to the Father, and you say, God is my Father, then you have everything what God has. So we have to come to that senses. Book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22. He says what? Have faith in God.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
Here he says, have faith in God. But the original he says, have faith of God. Not only faith in God, you should have God's faith. Have faith of God. And so the word of God says, if you have my faith, and if you live for me, I'm going to reward you. And if you come to me, then I will reward you. What is going to reward you? You get eternal life. You get everything what Father has and Son has, only come by faith. And so the word of God says, when you come to Jesus Christ, how do you come? Come by faith. And then Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, what he says? Looking unto Jesus, who is what? Author and finisher of our faith. So that means, if you need a faith, you come to Jesus Christ. We read here, he said, have faith in God or have faith of God. And then how you get it? Come to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ, who is the creator of faith. The devil is a liar, and he is what? Deceiver, and he's a father of all lies. So he is a destroyer, but God is the creator of faith. Devil brings all what? Unbelief. Everything negative you can think comes from the devil. Our God is a creator of faith. God has given the measure of faith. Each and every person has it. So if you don't have it, he's not going to say, believe in me. He said, I don't have faith. You have faith, but when you believe in him, you get the faith of God. And then you come closer to Jesus Christ, and then you learn from him, then you became like him. So that's what he's saying, follow me. What does it mean? Do what I do. And then you get everything what God has. Okay, let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8.
We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him.
Okay, now verse 8 and 9, he says, we do not want to live in this body. We want to get out of this body and go and meet the Lord. That is better. And that's what we are craving for. Each and every believer should be thinking, my home is not this home. I want to go to heaven. And that's the desire we should have. But at the same time, St. Paul is saying, that's a very good desire to go to heaven and get out of this filthy body. But at the same time, you have to think about others. Who are those? The believers. Now, if each and every born-again person just got born again and gone, right away, just think the gods start doing like this. Somebody got saved, go to heaven. Somebody got saved, go to heaven right away. Who will be teaching other people about born-again experience? Who will be telling others? The Word of God said, how can they hear without a preacher? That means the born-again people should not be craving so much to going to heaven if it is a good idea to go to heaven, but at the same time they should be thinking, even though I am absent from the Lord for a while, I want to be with the present with the Lord, but at the same time I want to live for God in this world to bring souls to Christ. Let's read in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 24, what St. Paul is saying.
For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better.
Okay, now he's saying, I like to get out of this world. I want to go with the Lord, and that is far better. And that is true.
Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
But at the same time, he says, I like to live in this world just for you. Means to bring you to Christ, to teach you about Lord, and that's what we want to do. So that's why I'm telling believers, don't think I want to cut short this life and let's go. Say I'm going to live 120. But for what? For Christ. If you're living more time in this world to win souls or doing the Lord's work, that's better to live in this world for a while until Jesus Christ comes. Because Jesus Christ is coming. If somebody dies today, they will go to heaven. But Jesus Christ comes today, we will be transformed. So we don't have to worry. We are living in this world, or we are with the Lord, we are always with God. Once you are born again, you are having the presence of God in this world. Because that's what he says. He has given us the Spirit in you. But at the same time, you have to have a desire to live for Christ. Some people, you know, say, oh Lord, take me home. I cannot take it. You know, remember that Elijah said the same thing. Moses says the same thing. Oh Lord, I don't want to leave here. God says, well, your work is not finished yet. So we have to say, Lord, I'm going through a tough time. I have lots of problems. I could say, Lord, let me die and let me come to heaven. He says, you are so selfish. You just want to get out of this world and come and have an everlasting life with me. How about those people living on this earth? You have to train them. You have to bring them to Christ. That is our job. That's why St. Paul is saying, I decided to stay with you. It is better for me to live for you and train you and bring you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the Christian vision. The people should have vision that I'm living. I'm not going to say, oh, this is too much. Lord, I cannot take it. Take me home. Take me home. God says, no, 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 you're not finished yet. You have to live in this world to bring souls to God. But if you living in this world to live filthy life, you're going to miss eternity. Okay, let's come back to the 2 Corinthians 5:10. Okay.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
Okay, now this scripture, when you read, many people have different kinds of theory on these scriptures. But I want you to read one more time, 10 and 11 together, and then I'm going to explain to you. Read the verse 11 also.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences.
Okay, now go back to the 10. Now here we St. Paul is saying, there is a judgment is coming. And he says, everyone has to stand before Christ. And some people are saying, oh, this is not a judgment. This is the getting reward in heaven. And that's what people are teaching in the Bible colleges. They're saying this call, the judgment seat of Christ, means you are getting reward in heaven. But if you're getting reward in heaven, and then this verse is saying, whatever you have done, good or bad in your body, okay? Now, if you did something bad in your body, you will not reach to heaven in the first place. And the 11th verse, it says, this is a horrible thing, just knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. That means it's a terrible day is coming to judge you. So now, if you think that you're going to go to heaven to get the rewards in heaven, this scripture is not for that. If you read in a book of Revelation chapter 22 and read verse 12.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his works shall be.
Okay, now here Jesus Christ is saying, I'm coming quickly, I'm coming soon, and I have rewards with me, and I'm going to give each and every one rewards. Now, where are we going to get rewards? When we go to heaven, that means Jesus Christ is coming. Now, in his coming, there are two phases. One called secret coming. The second coming is openly coming. The secretly coming for the bride, and he takes the bride to the mediator, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. And we go to heaven with him. And we live with him in heaven for 7 years. At that time on earth, there will be tribulation. And so when we are in heaven 7 years, that's the time the word of God says you will have your reward. Whatever the works you did for Christ. It didn't say good and bad works, because you cannot do anything bad for Christ. We do everything good for God. And so, come back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Here it says, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or be bad. So, now somebody says, oh, this letter was written to Corinthians, so it doesn't apply to everybody. Even though it returns to Corinthians, it's written to the everyone who is listening or reading. Now in Corinthians, if you remember 1 Corinthians, if you read, that there was a one man took the father's wife and living in sinful life. Now do you think that man will stand before God in heaven to judge what he did bad and good in his body? No, he will not go. Only he will go if he repents and if he forsakes his sin. So in short, what I'm trying to say, the judgment, when you talk about judgment, judgment is not for the believers. Go to the St. John chapter 5, verse 24. Judgment is for the sinners.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
What does it mean? The believers means if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ask forgiveness for your sins, and your life is changed, you have no condemnation or no judgment. You pass from death unto life. What life? Eternal life. Amen. Go to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
See, who doesn't have condemnation? The person who lives in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We are living in flesh, but we are not living for the flesh. If you have the Spirit of God, you are live for Christ. That's what the Word of God we read. God has given His Spirit in our body so we could call Abba Father. So He says, if you live by flesh, you will be condemned. But if you live by Spirit, there is no condemnation. So we are not living in this world with the fleshly life. We are living in this world by the Spirit of God. And that's what the condemnation is not there, because we are passed from death unto life. Why? Because we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But go back to the St. John chapter 5. But there is a judgment for other people. St. John chapter 5, 25 to 30.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man.
Okay, who is the judge? Jesus Christ will be the judge, because God has given authority to his Son to judge. Okay, go ahead.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me.
Amen. So the Jesus Christ is the judge, and he is going to judge the people who are not saved. Born again people, there is no judgment. Jesus Christ said, I'll come and I have rewards for you, and I'll give the rewards. As we read in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, St. Paul says, I am like a good master builder, and I'm building in the foundation of Christ. But he says, watch how you build. If you start building the church of God with a hay and wood, it will burn up. Once we are living in this world, we have to know the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, and teach the people what Jesus Christ told us how to build the church of God on this earth. Otherwise, our work will burn out. That's what he says. I have the reward. Whatever you did for me, you will get the rewards. So the rewards and judgment are two different things. Okay, the time doesn't permit. We are almost finished. God willing, we will start next week, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. But we are going to stop here. St. Paul is trying to say to us, we are living in this body, we are living in this world, but this world is not for us. This world is going to vanish away, but God has prepared a place for you, which is not made by hands, it is made by God. And as long as you live in this world, we are not living for us, but we are living for others. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand your will. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. Yes. But you have given us the great salvation.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You have given us your whole Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
We have the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, precious Lord.
And your word says, if you live by Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of our flesh.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, let us live by faith.
Yes, Lord.
We are not walking by sight, we are walking by faith.
Yes, Lord.
So our life is faith life, and you have given us that eternal faith of God.
Thank you, Lord.
In our spirit.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
You have given us your spirit so we can call you Abba Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And our desire is to meet our Father which is in heaven. Lord Jesus, give us grace to run our race, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith.
Oh, yes,
in this world, we have trials and tribulations and problems, But whatever the glory we are going to get, we cannot compare with these worldly troubles.
Amen.
You have given us a great hope.
Yes, Lord.
And we believe that Jesus Christ is coming.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And your word says the church should say, come, Lord Jesus,
yes,
come. And Lord, we invite you to come soon.
Yes, Lord.
But as long as we are in this world, we want to please you, and we want to work for you, and we want to win souls for Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Give us that strength, power, and wisdom, and your grace.
Please,
we commit our bodies, our souls, and our spirits into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.